Welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH and take advantage of the many programs we have to offer you. That means that you can tune in the free app, tune in on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers. And guess what? If you would like to call in and have any questions you would like to ask my guest or myself today, or would like to make any comments regarding whatever subject we will be talking about, please call 740-383-9944. My guest today is H. Good. He frequents here quite often, and he's back again. So those of you who would like to call in or ask H. Good any questions, again, the phone number is 740-383-9944. I have a couple announcements for you. Logos Christian Ministries will be giving away back-to-school notebooks and paper and pencils and things like that for the children going back to school, grade kindergarten through eighth grade. This will take place Saturday, August the 17th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Address is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Remember, that is August the 17th, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Logos Christian Ministries. Your children must be present. You just can't show up and take advantage of that. You must have your child there. And something special they are doing Sunday, August the 18th, 6 p.m. at Marion City Hall, 233 West Center Street. They're having prayer for radical and ethnic unity, love, and change in America. Of course, somebody wants to call me. Wrong time. Okay, I think this is in regards to some of the events that have been taking place throughout our United States. I think it was Texas and Dayton, Ohio. And the community wants to come together in prayer. So if you're not doing anything Sunday, August the 18th, 6 p.m., please find your way to Marion City Hall, 233 West Center Street, Marion, Ohio. 2 Chronicles 7:14 will be the theme. If my people who are called by my name, and I know many of you know that scripture. One more announcement. Greetings on August 18th at 4 p.m. Harvest Church, 200 Santa Street. They will be having a gospel lip sync, ages 6 years to 14 years old. If you need to ask any questions, please call Beverly Hartman at 740-692-9923. Okay. Now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, 1325 North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Again, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number 740-262-0939. At this time, I will turn my attention to my guest today, H. Good. And how are you doing?
Miss Linda, I am doing fantastic. And once again, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on your program, and I'm looking forward to our topic today.
Yes, me too. Same here. And believe it or not, I just got a couple minutes ago.
It's all good.
And I had planned. It just popped up.
I understand.
So, this is it right here. And I have to bring back to your remembrance H. Good. He is the author, Hassan Good. Initial H is the founder and president of Good Solution Staffing and Hire, a staffing and professional development company. The mission of his organization is to build a healthy culture with companies and organizations. And I'm looking at his book. He is the author of Just Quit. It will make you feel better. And maybe not. And maybe not.
That's right.
No one wants to be a quitter. Shouldn't want to,
they
right?
Shouldn't want to be one.
Yeah.
No. We're not born to be quitters. Right. But.
So how's your family?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. School is upon us. This Thursday, all three of my lovely children, Aaron and Aria and Ava, will be heading back to school, and so they're doing fantastic. For some of you who know me, and or those who don't, my wife is also an educator. She works part-time at a charter school in Columbus, and she just started back to work. So as we were talking about earlier before the program, the summer flew by.
Mm-hmm, just gone.
Man, and so we are all getting ready for the school mindset and, you know, getting our schedules together. So the family is doing really well. It's been a good summer. We had a chance to take some vacation, and we are ready. My kids are actually excited to go back to school.
I'm sure.
You know, when I was getting school, I was not excited to go back to do the work. I just wanted to see my friends and, you know.
Jordan's on, right?
Correct. The new clothes, the football games. You know, I like the social aspect of it.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
How are yours? How are your children? How are your children?
Well, those grown folks are doing well.
They're doing good. Can I ask questions? I know you're the one that usually asks the questions, but anyway.
It goes both ways.
Yes. So they're doing good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really good.
Okay.
Because my baby girl, she got a promotion. She's an assistant manager at Home Depot.
Okay.
Yeah. She's working on being CEO.
I heard that. That's a good mindset to have.
Yes, it is. She walked in the door like that, you know.
Wow.
She's worked her way up from
yes.
the cash register.
Here in Marion?
No.
I was going to say, there's no Home Depot
she's
here in Marion.
Copley, Ohio.
Ohio. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
So she's going to be she's in leadership now, but she wants to own it. That's a great mindset to have.
Yes.
I like that.
That's her. She loves money. She just really does. But she's good. She has a good sense about money.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good sense about it. So I'm very proud of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more you have, the more influence you have, too.
That's true.
So true. And a lot of responsibility goes with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely, it does. But she's doing good, and I'm going from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're all doing good. I'm proud of all of them.
And you have grandkids as well.
Yes, Layla is my great grandbaby.
Oh, okay.
She's walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
She's stolen my heart.
She is what, 9 months old?
One.
Okay.
She just turned one, 24th.
Okay.
Of July.
Nice. So new life in the family.
It took a long time.
Really?
15 years from Jeremiah, right? He's 15 years old.
Okay.
Here, you know.
Wow.
Here's Layla. So, yeah. She takes my attention.
Yeah.
All the pictures on my phone are there and
mm-hmm.
that. So.
Well, good stuff.
And we're doing well. We're doing well. Taking life one day at a time.
I hear you. That's the only way to do it. You know, if we try to get too ahead of ourselves, that's when anxiety and worry, fear, that's when that all those things enter in. But if we could just take it one step at a time and not try to get and not get too ahead of ourselves and be in the moment, you know, because tomorrow has issues for itself. But just being here today, taking it one step at a time, I believe is a good rule of thumb to live by.
It is, you know, I can't handle any more than what comes at me, all right, minute by minute. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I get too far, I get anxious and I get, you know.
That's right.
Hives and all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then fear comes
mm-hmm.
in, and it can, because you don't know what the next moment is going to hold.
That's
so
right.
I'm learning, like, to pace myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be, like we talked yesterday on the air, it used to be I'd just run, do this, do that, whatever
yes.
comes up, you know, no. forethought. But, you know, as you get older, you begin to think about things. Do I really want to do this?
Right.
Do I really need to do this? Mm-hmm. You know? So, and I want to talk a little bit about your book. How is this book serving you? Is it serving you well and others?
That's a great question. Well, I feel like it's serving me well. I'm here sitting across from you.
Yes, and I know you've learned, all this is what you've learned.
Yes, yes. And
about your trials of life.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, a snapshot. We, you know, we wrote that book just quick. It will make you feel better.
Right.
Because of the situation that took place when I started this business back in 2011. And so I share a little bit in my life prior to the business, obviously, so people can get a snapshot of who I am. That's our first project, our first book ever. Never thought I would be a published author. I thought about it, but I thought I would get to a certain level of status before I started writing books. So to answer your question, the book has opened doors. It brings a certain level of credibility. People think when you're an author that there's a certain level of accomplishment.
Right.
And so it feels good to tell people that, yes, we've published a book and, you know, we're proud of how it's impacting people's lives. And I am grateful, too, for some of the stories. I was just doing a Facebook Live, and one of the first people outside of myself and my wife to read the book was on our Facebook Live. And he said some wonderful things about the book. I you know, I didn't really want to give him that first copy because we had some spelling errors in it. And actually on our second run, we have some errors as well, but you still get the gist of the story. And so he read the book. I think he got it done in like an hour or two, and he just talked about how it impacted him and how he, because I talk about the power of one of the things I talk about in there is the power of your words.
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the ways that we can bring destruction into our own lives is through our words. I think we shared this last month. And so we have to be careful, you know, with what comes out of our mouth and whether you believe there's an enemy out there. There is an enemy, and he can use our words to bring destruction into our lives.
Yes,
so that was one of the revelations that I got. And that was one of the things that this gentleman shared about when he read that book, how it just helped him to understand how much we have to pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth. Mm. Because what comes out of our mouth is producing energy. Words are not just things, but they actually are producing energy. That words can produce, they can speak, you can speak life or you can speak death.
True.
And so we have to really learn. That was one of the principles that I had to learn when everything imploded, was I had to really start looking at my words. I started listening to people who talked about the power of your words. And one of the questions that I had, Miss Linda, was that when you're facing a negative situation, I would hear people say, don't speak what you see, speak what you want to see. And I'm like, how do you do that? When everything looks like it's, you know, going the opposite direction, how do you speak what you want to see? Or how do you speak good things? Now, and again, I've shared this before, that just because you say good things doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen just because you say it. But if you want to see good things happen in your life, one of the ingredients, whether you're, you know, a believer or a non-believer in Christ, are the words that you speak.
True.
And so training, you have to retrain your heart. You have to retrain your mind to begin to say things that are life-giving and not death-giving. I like what I heard Jim Carrey, the comedian who was a nobody many, many years ago. And I think I shared this story the last time I was on. And there's countless others. There's people who have spoken things that were not life-giving.
Oh, yeah.
I know, I believe it was Tupac, the one who, he was a rap artist, and they asked him, where did he see himself in 5 years? This was when he was alive. And he said something to the tune of, I don't know, probably dead and in the grave. And it wasn't too long after that that he was murdered in Las Vegas.
Jesus.
Jim Carrey, on the other hand, believed in himself and actually wrote out a check and said, one day I will be paid $15 million to be in a film, and I will be the feature. This is a man that did not have any opportunities on the horizon, but that's what he said.
Right.
And he had the belief and the action to line up with what he said. And sure enough, many, many years later after that, Jim Carrey has been paid more than $15 million to do a film. But he's just one person that I like to say, you know, who right. we all are familiar with, who understood the power of words.
So it kind of makes you think, why do we quit so easy?
Why do we quit
so easily? I mean, and you, like you said, one of the people who had read your book had given good results.
Yes, gave some good reviews and said reviews. Some things about the he didn't understand the power or the weight that his words really carried.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. But and we wonder why people quit so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are so easily to get up and. To give up and get frustrated.
Yes.
In the process.
Yes.
Like in your book, is that the struggle is real.
The struggle is real. And you know what? I'm reading a book that I had read several years ago by our former pastor. It's called Money Mysteries of the Kingdom. And one of the things that he said in that book was that there is a place. There is a destiny that we are all called to occupy, not just to get there, but to actually occupy.
Wow. Sit in and rest in.
Correct.
Okay.
To occupy and to dominate and to, yes. So I love how you said sit that you said sit in and rest in. There's a place that we've all been called to occupy, a place of success, a place where we are winning in life. But you asked, why do we quit so easy? And the reason for that is because of we like to abort the process. We like to abort the process because it's we can't see a way out. We may not have the mental toughness.
Okay.
We may think that this road or what we see as far as a vision to where we'd like to be at in life, we may think it's going to be easy. And so when we start getting resistance, when we start facing setbacks and delays,
right.
roadblocks, it gets hard
yes, yes.
to see beyond that. And so we just give up. And sometimes we're close to a breakthrough. I've heard that so many times. There have been times where I was ready to give up and somebody might say I would hear somebody, a motivational speaker or somebody say, man, you're so close. And like 3 months later, I'm still
right.
in that same situation.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So I just think it's the easy thing to do. It's the easy thing to do to just to give up. And instead of learning what you need to learn and instead of embracing the process, and sometimes it's not easy. You know, for example, and I'm laughing because we decided to go in a different direction and we started reaching out to some different clients with my company and we got some feedback. We got some feedback that we didn't necessarily like, but as Simon Bailey always says, or as I've heard Simon Bailey say, he says, feedback is the breakfast of champions. So whether you get good feedback or not so good feedback, it's the breakfast of champions. It's the thing. Those are the things that are going to help you to learn. But you have to embrace when you get negative feedback.
Right.
Don't
you gotta eat that too.
You got to eat it and use it as an opportunity to grow and to learn and to get better, And so there's a process when if we're all called to reign and to win a place where we're called to occupy, there's training. There's a process to getting there.
Right.
And so unfortunately, we see things on TV. We compare ourselves to other people.
Right.
And it may seem like other people got there quicker when we don't know what it took for them to get to where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're all on different tracks, different, you know, stages. And so we look at other people and we may get discouraged instead of thinking about how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
We think about well, I'm not where I want to be.
Right. And it looks too
And it looks too far. Yes. And so that's why it's so critical to pay attention to your words, and also pay attention to what you're listening to, whether it's the music you're listening to, who you're hanging around, the voices, what you watch on TV. You know, my business coach and mentor said that he put a quote out there, and I was like, wow, it kind of hurt when he said it. Right. He said, if you're desiring to have a successful business and you're not earning millions of dollars, you don't have time to sit down and watch TV. I was like, ouch. Now, I don't watch a lot of TV. We don't even have cable.
Right.
And one of the reasons why we don't have cable is because of what happened many years ago. And we've just gotten accustomed to not having it. And, you know, we, as far as our family, we don't watch a lot of TV. But I do from time to time. I'll get some DVDs and on the weekends and, you know, just sit back and
entertain. Movies.
Yeah, same here.
Old movies.
Yes. I don't know what old movies you're referring to. But
the 50s.
Okay.
The vintage
ones.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. Some are black and white.
Yes. I get it. I get it. Those movies, although I don't watch a lot of black and white movies, but when I do from time to time, they were so simplistic. And sometimes they don't have all the drama. But what I was going to say is that, I can't remember my point. We're talking about TV and just, filtering what you are putting in you
is
critical. And oftentimes when we want to quit, we're not putting in things in our minds, what we're listening to that will help us to continue on. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So that's why we give up easy. And so that book is designed to just be a boost and to let you know what I went through and how I've had to change.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I know we were talking, I did not throw this out there yet. We're talking about self-respect. That's the theme of today. And we're going to get into that a little deeper. But you had said something I want to address about comparing.
Yes.
And I just repented for something. I compared an individual to another individual, which I should not have done. I should have compared that individual to God.
Mm.
You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how could I leave you out of the equation? You are the man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
And so often we go to people.
Yes.
And he wants us to come to him. And
we ask
other people, and he wants us to ask him.
That's right.
Cry out to me. I will hear you.
Yes.
I will hear you.
Yes.
You know, we
so
get
awesome.
So closed up within ourselves and that pride.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even want to ask God to help us when we need that help.
Mm-hmm.
When we need that encouragement.
And so
we need
true.
That kick in the pants.
Mm-hmm.
Help me.
That's right.
Lead me. Guide me.
That's right.
And I thought, wow, why did I compare this person to that person? No. No, no, no. Because they're just people like we are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, I should have compared them to you. You know?
That's good. For those of you who can't see me, I'm shaking my head as she's talking to me. You can't see me doing that, but I am agreeing with Miss Linda.
Yeah, because like the thing, self-respect.
Yes.
Sometimes we lose that. You're never too old to lose your self-respect or find yourself not where you really want to be at or stay at. Because if we could stay at a certain point, we wouldn't need God, would we?
That's true. And so when we were talking earlier about the word self-respect, you know, I went on Google.
Of course. And God for Google.
This is where I pulled up that definition. And this is really interesting because I really wanted to talk a little bit about confidence today and how we get it, how we keep high levels of it. But self-respect, the definition, is pride and confidence in oneself, a feeling that one is behaving with honor and dignity. And so when we have high levels of self-respect, we have high levels of confidence. When we don't respect ourselves, I always say that when I see someone that portrays disrespectful behavior towards others, oftentimes they have low confidence. They have low self-respect themselves. But when you have high confidence, when you have high levels of self-respect,
right.
you live in such a way in which you have honor and dignity. And so, you know, I believe we live in a culture right now where there's high levels of, or there's lack of self-respect. And a lot of that has to do with just lack of confidence, and there's a breakdown in the family, and a lot of, you know, confidence. As a father, I can instill confidence in my children by the words that I say to them, or I can take away their confidence by the words that I say to them.
Yes.
By tearing them down, right?
Just as fast.
Correct.
Just as fast.
People, you may have people, you can, somebody may say something to you. They may critique you. They may say that you're not this, you're not that. And if you're not careful, that can really mess with your self-respect or self-confidence.
Yes. And it seems like we receive the negative faster than the positive.
So true.
And it hurts. It hits to the core of your being.
Yes.
You know, the negative things, the tear down words.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, oh, you tuck your tail and run.
People are easier. People are much inclined to listen to and meditate on negative things that people say to themselves. Versus when, think about times when you are given a compliment, or I've given a compliment to someone, and I'll say, nice dress, or nice suit. This old thing.
Right. Couldn't even receive a compliment.
Yes. Instead of just saying, you know what? Thank you.
Right.
You know, people are much more, even with ourselves, instead of telling ourselves, you know what? I am a winner and not a quitter.
True.
I can do all things through Christ.
Right.
You know, I am a leader. I make an impact. Instead of saying things that build themselves up, and I talk to my wife about this often, you know, you'll make a mistake and you'll say, man, that was so stupid of me.
I know.
And we really should not say things like that.
Right, right.
We really should not say things like that. So it's just I believe it's really an issue of training. You know, retraining ourselves. We know the scripture that talks about transforming our minds.
Right.
God would never say that you're stupid.
I know.
He wouldn't. God doesn't say those kinds of things about his creation.
True.
Now, we may say that about someone else, and I've been guilty of doing that.
Right.
And I've also been guilty of saying that to myself. Like, dude, you know.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, what were you thinking? Yep.
Wasn't
correct.
I wasn't thinking.
Correct. And it's just an issue of, I believe, retraining, and also and being mindful of what we're speaking, and also, you know, our confidence. When you have high levels of confidence, or the term you used earlier, self-respect, there's certain things that you're just not going to do. You're going to behave in such a way, the definition talked about, behaving in a way of, you know, bringing honor and dignity to yourself. So
and self-confidence and self-respect, they're on the same vein.
They are.
You know, and the theme is, well, the thought is, if you develop your sense of self-respect, then regard will follow you like a shadow.
Mm.
So regard means how you consider yourself, or how you think about yourself, you know, or something that you may be involved in a special way. How do you view yourself? And
that's good.
Not just myself, but in H Good, but you who are listening, how do you view yourself? What do you think about you as being a person, and being in the new millennial age that we are in? And we see a lot of good things going on. We see a lot of bad things going on. We just witness mass shootings.
That's
and
right.
People dying. And
that's right.
Being injured, and copycats coming along, and, you know, people running for their lives. It's just a sound of a motorcycle backfiring.
Mm-hmm.
How do we view ourselves as Americans and as people? We live in the greatest nation in the world, and that's what we're told all the time. But how do we look at one another, and how do we look at ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be better citizens, or mentors, or teachers, or even commentators? Can we be better at those things? Do we have the self-respect or constraint that we need in our day and time? Can we do better? We can always do worse.
So one of my quotes, or one of my statements, is you can always better your best. You can always better your best. And so there's always room for improvement. I think we always have to be willing to take self inventory.
Yes.
And I can't control what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I can control what H does.
Right.
I can control my actions. I can control, you know, who I'm mentoring. You know, I do mentor and we do coach. We do coach individual business leaders and just leaders, people who are trying to go to the next level in their leadership, and we help them build their self-confidence. But what's interesting is you see all these things going on in our society, and even when you're working with people one-on-one, you want to see them succeed. And it can be heartbreaking when they have barriers and they don't want to put the effort in to seeing their own selves succeed. It's like they're self-destructing. And so sometimes you may want it more than they do.
That's true.
And so what I've had to learn is I'm only responsible for my behavior. I can't control what other people do. I can control the impact that I'm making on an organization. I can control, you know, the words that come out of my mouth. But I can't control, you know, somebody that wants to get a gun or somebody that wants to use a vehicle to go and hurt other people. So I think because you see all those things and that's a doorway for people to get depressed.
True.
And I've really tried to change and not meditate on those kinds of things anymore. And right. I'm aware of things going on in the news, but I don't meditate on them because, you know, it's not going to help. And I am aware. So, you know, I am aware of certain things that go on in the news and you need to be. But as far as meditating on those things, it can really, really cause a person to, it can cause them to get depressed. Can cause them to lose their confidence because you think, what's the use?
Right.
But if we focus on just controlling ourselves, developing our own selves, and then, you know, impacting this person over there and impacting that person over there, yes, we can better our best.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think we can too. And like you said, you can see something in a person that they can't see themselves doing, but you've been around them. Sometimes you can talk to a person for 5 minutes and realize, wow, you could do so many
great things
in your life, you know, because you can see something in them. We give off auras around ourselves, you know.
That's right.
It's a good one or a bad one.
That's
You know, whether a person know what they're talking about or not, you have perception.
That's right.
Of another person that they may not have themselves. Mm-hmm. And that took me back to speak not what you see.
Yes.
Okay, it's not here for you to see.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I was talking about my daughter when she went into Home Depot.
Yes.
She told me, see, I want your job.
Yes, that's
she
good.
She just started at the cash register.
Mm-hmm. And what's she doing now?
She's assistant manager.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't been there but 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she had that self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so glad that I told my children and grand, you can have the world if you
that's
want
right.
it.
That's right.
It's there for you.
That's right.
You can have it.
That's right.
You know, but you got to know
that's right.
how to have it.
That's right. And I like to say this, and hopefully this makes sense. What I love about God is that he gives us all a level playing field.
Yes.
He gives us all a level playing field. And the principles and what he says about our situation, that's for anybody to have. And so, you know, I love hearing that story about your daughter because that shows the power of vision. I think it was J.C. Penney who at one point was a bagger at a grocery mart, at a grocery store.
Okay.
He bagged groceries, but he had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter started as a cashier,
right?
But knew she wasn't going to stay there.
Right.
And you bring another point up, you know, self-respect. When you have self-respect, you're someone that sees better for yourself. And I encourage listeners, you know, we're in a day and age right now where you hear a lot about these vision board parties, dream board parties. I encourage the listeners that if you don't have a vision, a picture of where you want to go or who you want to become, true, that's also going to affect your self-respect or your self-confidence. So I urge people, you know, there's plenty of material out there. We even did this with our own children. We all, at the beginning of this year, we all created little vision boards. My children are 9, 8, and 6.
That's good.
And they have a little vision board in their room of things they want to do, places they want to go, things they want to have. And so this gives them a direction. This helps with their, you know, with their self-confidence. And then when they begin to see some of those things come to pass, they can check it off and say, wow, this really works. But having vision, you know, when I was just out there, Linda, not really, just a loser mindset, loser behavior, the way I treated women, the way I treated myself, the way I treated authority, I knew there was greatness in me, but I didn't know how to get there.
Right.
And so one of the keys that I began to apply was I started reading books,
educating yourself,
educating myself, getting around other people who I respected. Mm-hmm. I started changing my environment, but I also created vision boards or dream walls.
Right.
And I had, this is even before I got married, I started putting pictures up. You've got this great big banner in the studio here. Mm-hmm. And I put pictures of places I wanted to go, things I wanted to do, people I wanted to impact. You know, like I my desire is to someday go into a nation that is not as privileged as the United States.
Okay.
And I would like to purchase some land and build, or at least purchase a building and turn that into some type of like hospital or a place where people can come and receive care, because, you know, in our country, there are places. So that's one of the things that I've put in my, actually, it's a dream book that I have.
Right.
And so it's going to come to pass.
Right.
And so that helps, you know, those kinds of things help me with my self-confidence. You know, when I feel like my confidence is lacking, or you know, I look at those things and I'm like, okay, this is the course. So I believe, I don't want to rant, but I believe that your confidence and self-respect is all tied.
It is
together.
It is belief in oneself, faith in oneself, positiveness, assertiveness, just knowing I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to do that.
That's just right.
Like when I had the opportunity to come here,
mm-hmm,
and be on the radio, and that my spiritual mother and mentor, she said, well, can you come up with a name? You think you can do that? I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Came up with the name, A Voice of a People. Mm-hmm. She and I, you know.
Love it.
I didn't doubt it.
Yes.
Because those, like I had told you before, those words were not allowed in our household when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
That's good.
Or stupid.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would have a fit.
Mm-hmm.
Or the N-word.
Yep, that's good.
Not allowed.
That's all profanity. Yes.
So I grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I trained my children the same way.
That's good.
My grandchildren the same way, and great-grands.
That's good.
You know, because I don't want them to think that nothing is impossible.
That's right.
For them.
Yep. I just read that to my kids on Sunday, and we talked about, what does it mean for nothing to be impossible? Some things are impossible with man, but with God,
nothing
is impossible. So we were just sharing that with our children. So you were speaking life.
Yes, speaking life. In Joshua 1:8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get this up as fast as I can. The Lord was telling Joshua.
Is that where he's talking about meditate?
Oh, wow. Let me get that out of there. Joshua 1:8. Does anybody know what Joshua 1:8 says? If you do, call in. 740-38.
Come on, callers.
944. All right, let's go. It's right here. Why isn't it just showing up? I know he says be strong.
Yes. This Joshua 1:8.
You get it?
Yes.
Get
do we have
it?
Any
go
callers?
Ahead. Go ahead with it.
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make thy way prosperous, and you shall have good success.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
Yes. God is interested in our success.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He and gave us the roadmap right there.
Yes, he did. And then it goes on a couple scriptures after that, and he says, didn't I command you?
That's right. That's good.
You know, to be confident, be self-assured. I am here for you.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to, just like I was there with Moses, I will be there for you.
Yes.
So where you're telling your children, just like God is here for me, he's there for you.
That's right.
He's here for you.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to go around and be lost or
like yes.
you were saying earlier, run to this person.
Correct.
Run to that person.
Correct.
He's right there.
Yes.
He's right there.
One of the things I was going to share too, you know, we talked about the word confidence, and confidence is a positive belief in yourself. When you see someone who has a positive belief in themselves, they have high levels of confidence. They have high levels of confidence in themselves, in their potential, and their abilities. And what confidence does is it produces a feeling of certainty and hope, empowering you to perform at your best. When you are not performing at your best, check your confidence levels.
Right.
And we all have a tendency, we all battle with it. You know, somebody may say something to us.
Sure.
We might have something happen that rocks our confidence. But back to what I was saying before, I had, we just started to go into a new direction with my business this year. And we got some feedback that we didn't really like. Am I going to allow that to affect my confidence? Or am I going to say, okay, let me take this feedback and get better from it.
Right.
And I decided to do the latter, to take the feedback and help it to make us, my organization, be better.
Right. Absolutely. I pulled it up. Joshua 1:9.
Yes.
Have not I commanded thee, which means you, be strong and of a good courage.
Yes.
Now that's the self-confidence. That's the self-respect.
That's good.
Be not afraid. A lot of times fear stops
us. Mm-hmm.
We're scared to go two paces out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like you said, from one job to another job, or going up the ladder at the job that you're at. Neither be thou dismayed. So don't be so easily discouraged.
That's right.
Along the way. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go.
And that's a good reminder. And he said, do not fear. So that lets me know that fear is always going to be right around the corner.
It's there.
It's going to be right around the corner.
You can get up and fear will grip you.
Yep. But have courage.
Have courage.
In the face of fear. And know that God is with you.
And know he's with
you. Yes. And you have to remind yourself of that.
I know.
You have to say it out of your mouth.
Right.
You have to, that's going to help you with your confidence, knowing that God is with you.
Yes. Yes. And it should.
Like yes.
People look at you like, you always talk about God.
Yes.
Why do I talk about God? He's done so much.
So much.
For me.
Yes.
And he brought you here.
That's right.
You know?
It's good.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
I know my grandson get tired of me, but I don't care.
Hey, you're planting those good seeds.
I don't care.
Back to I know we're getting ready to wrap up.
Go
you
ahead.
Said that in your household, you taught your children and you were raised with the same principles that you never say, I can't. You never use the N word. There was one other thing that you never stupid. See, these are so because your words are so critical. You were taught, and then you took what you were taught, and you taught that to your children. You know, one of the things that we've tried to teach our children. I heard a friend of mine from high school who's an educator in Lansing, Michigan. He has his students. Who may be in class from time to time, the quote was something like, when you are bored, what do we say? And all his students repeated it. They were high school students. Intelligent people don't get bored.
Right. That's good.
Intelligent people don't get bored. So I took that. And what he means by that is when you're intelligent, you can find something to do.
Yeah.
You can read. You know how some kids are like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
And my kids, a couple years ago, they started, I'm bored. So I came home with that quote.
Right.
I said, are you intelligent? Yes. Yes, Daddy. You know what? Intelligent people don't get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? Are you intelligent? Yes, Daddy.
Right.
Intelligent people don't get bored.
Right.
So what do you think that means? Well, I'm not going to get bored. Well, that means if you do get bored, or if you do find yourself getting restless, you go learn, or you go entertain yourself, because intelligent people don't get bored.
That's good. I'm glad you finished with that. That's excellent. I'm going to use that. Don't think I'm not going to. Thank you, H. Good, for
coming awesome.
And spending time out of your busy day. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And don't forget to chat on Monday. Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to. And I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game shows and television series, and worked with people like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes on and on. She is amazing, the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. But I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish, with all the things they have going on about doing this and doing